Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this evening and for the privilege to come together as one, as a people, to learn, to worship, to offer thanks and appreciation for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord of Heaven, for the things that have become signposts. They have become testimonies. They have become part of our history. It was you that put those things there as a way of encouraging us. We trust you that even tonight you will add to that in the name of Jesus. You promised that you will build your church. You said the gates of hell will not prevail. We thank you because you have kept that promise. And the gates of hell have not prevailed. To you alone be glory and honor. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for your servant that you have used to be a blessing to us. My Father, I ask for your grace to be a minister of the New Testament. Help me to bring forth the word and let there be understanding in the house. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Please let us say it. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, I will drop this microphone by 8:30. God will help me in the name of Jesus. Can you appreciate Pastor Yojeje? Can you appreciate the man of God? Thank you very much. He's a wonderful person. I thank God. I was happy when I saw you. He's full of testimonies and it's interesting. There's one he did not share. Maybe he has kept that testimony for another time. There are many testimonies I get to hear. I guess he told me, but he will share it himself. Praise the Lord. You know, I thank God that the enemy did not rejoice over Isha. That is just it. Hallelujah. I want to appreciate God for the life of my brother, Pastor Bumiomi Diron. Can you please appreciate him? I appreciate you, man of God. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the way you brought it. Beautiful. I want to thank God for the life of my wife, Pastor Bilio. Mrs. Bilo, Pastor Gidon, Pastor Dile, and my beautiful friend. You're welcome, sir. God bless you. Amen. I've forgotten the name. It is well. Hallelujah. Like I said, I want to make sure that we don't stay too long tonight. I want to teach. Now, I know some of you think that Paul knew more about God than Jesus. Some of you think that Paul knew so much. If you don't preach from the epistles, especially the epistles of Paul, some of you think that revelation has not been opened. I used to think like that too. I used to unconsciously think that Jesus' preaching was milk. Paul brought the real meat. Until the Spirit had to call my attention to that and had to recalibrate me. Praise the Lord. I also used to think that Paul and all the apostles were God's best, that nobody can best them again. They became the standard by which we measured ourselves. And the Holy Ghost told me again that that is not correct. Who has ever participated in a 4x4 100 meters relay? You have participated. Do you put your best leg at the beginning? Where do you put your best leg? You now understand the parable of the wine, of the wedding of Cana. That everybody brings his best wine at the beginning, but you brought your best at the end. Paul and Peter were not God's best. Nobody knows the foundation of this house. Nobody celebrates the foundation. They celebrate the finish. If the finished men celebrate, they don't celebrate the foundation. So we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. You are celebrating the apostles, but they are not God's best. Are you with me? Somebody said that this man preached the gospel not having... They had only 5 books with the Psalms and the prophets. That was all they had. You have 66. You are more complete than they. If 5 books could make Joshua invincible, said, if you will sit down with this law, all the days of your, just sit down with this law, read it and read it and read it, meditate, eat it, everything. He said, anywhere your feet touches is your possession. 5 books made him so. You have 66. What do you think it will turn you into? Am I making sense to you? The problem I think we have in our generation is that we are distracted. We are distracted with all kinds of things that are not really, really necessary. I think you really need to be sick to really realize that the things you are pursuing are not necessary. Have you ever been sick before? The best food you love does not appeal to you. Abi? So why are you killing yourself out of that food? You now know that is really not important. So the question has always been, what exactly is a man's responsibility here on earth? And the wisest man gave us that clue. So here's the conclusion of the whole matter. It says, fear God and obey his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. One of the things that you realize about kingship is that the words of kings are not suggestions. They don't suggest. Kings do not suggest. Kings do not give advices. Kings give order. It is foolishness for you to take the instruction of the but I don't call it instructions, I call them commandments. I said at the beginning that when they wrote when God gave instructions to Moses to give to Israel, he said, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this, because I am the Lord your God. In other words, was affirming and reaffirming that he was not in a position to be equated by any other, with any other being on earth or any other place. We have a problem, however. It has been an eternal problem. People keep equating God with other gods. Unfortunately, many of us worship many other gods than God. Or rather, we worship God with other gods. You don't know you are worshiping God. He said you cannot love mammon and love God. You can't worship God and mammon together. But we are very smart people. We have tried to... In fact, it's not only mammon we worship. We worship pleasure. We worship fashion. What else do we worship? We worship achievement. We worship tribe. Praise God. The guy comes and says, are you Igbo? You're Igbo. Am I making sense to you? They say, what school did you go to? Olurugbo Grammar School. Oh. You just pack the guy one side. These are things that people worship. And unconsciously, like Pastor Bumi said, these are strongholds that you need to deal with. Because somehow, somewhere, these things make it impossible for the manifestation of the kingdom in our lives. Hallelujah. We heard this morning that the Holy Spirit is the agent of the kingdom. He's the agent of the agency. Where the Holy Spirit is, the kingdom is present. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's a song we normally sing. Spirit of God, come down. Come down. The Holy Spirit is not coming down here, it's down. There are songs we sing, I think we need to go back and check them. If they are spiritually, they are scripturally correct. The Holy Spirit is down. But the problem with the Holy Spirit, like every other thing that I learned many years ago, is that we camp the Holy Ghost in one guest room. Because we have many rooms in our lives. Many, many rooms in our lives. And so we tell the Holy Ghost,
You are only allowed in this guest room. Please don't go out until I come and fetch you. So the Holy Ghost stays in that guest room, whereas the other guest rooms have other guests there. So your house is actually a hotel. I don't know whether that your house is a guest house. The guest house. Holy Ghost is occupying one room. Other gods are occupying other rooms. So you go to them, you go and relate to them. When you finish, I need to see Holy Ghost. So after 10 days, you now go back. Holy Ghost, are you still there? You're there. Okay, don't worry, I'm coming back. And kingdom cannot be expressed like that. One thing I've seen about God, it takes all. It doesn't take half, it takes all. Praise the Lord. And I was trying to tell us that Pastor Bello has been talking about warfare. I'm not going into warfare tonight. Hallelujah. But I don't know. I'm trying to find direction. But I won't teach. I'm just laying my foundation this evening. I beg your pardon. You know, there's a component of that aspect of He being the Lord of the host. We've not understood what it means to relate with the Lord of the host. Have you observed that every time God appears to people, depending on what He wants to do, that is how He reveals Himself. You cannot appeal to Him as the Lord of hosts when you need healing. Okay. No, you can't do that. Okay. No. If you need healing, He's not the Lord of the host. Am I making sense? What is He? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. His name is crucial to unlocking that dimension of the kingdom. You must know what He stands for when you want Him to manifest. I normally say that if you want promotion, you don't go to God as the Father. You go to God as the judge. Said, promotion does not come from where? The east. Neither does it come from the west. In other words, they come from where? The south. But God is judge. That's where promotion comes. Because it is a judge that releases promotion. You must understand it. Now, there's another area I think we need to look at. When in that Lord's Prayer, He said, this is how you will pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Father and kingdom technically have no bearing. Based on what I've just said. Because if God is the Father, then we should not be talking about kingdom. We should say, our King. Abi, our Father. Our King who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. But it did not say our King who art in heaven. He said our Father who art in heaven. So when they called Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it can only mean one thing. Praise God. If He's a Father, that makes you a prince. Your Father is a King, and which automatically confers priesthood on you. Hallelujah. Only those who are princes can understand the meaning of princes. But Pastor Yeje will preach that message, it's not me. Hallelujah. I just want you to adjust the foundation. Tonight, however, I want to talk about Jesus' perspectives, the perspectives He gave concerning the kingdom. And he kept them inside parables. Hallelujah. Where did He keep them? Inside parables. I want us to look at the parables of the kingdom as expounded by Jesus. Like I said, some of you also will be preaching from, Pastor Bello preached from Revelation. Fantastic, powerful. Me, I will just go to Jesus and speak from Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. No, Pastor, they deal with Revelation. Me, I will just go to the Gospels. Hallelujah. It will be strange for you to know that the Bible says He put trees that had fruit bearing or seed bearing fruits. How did He put it? But the fruit they were bearing carry seed. What was this talking about? Everything is about sowing and reaping. You sow, you reap. The woman is a mini kind of earth. The earth that we call earth is a womb. You drop a seed and the thing produces harvest for you. You give a woman a seed, it produces a child. These are all types. The same thing. So when the angel came and said, Mary, you will carry the seed. You bring forth the child. How can this thing be? Because she's used to one way of doing it. I don't need those means. It is me who created the womb. Okay, I put the seed there back. The kingdom is conveyed via seed. If you break a seed, do you see the life inside of it? No, but the life is there. And the mystery of the seed is that it, until it dies, it abides alone. Praise God. So when they plant that seed in your heart, remember I said the kingdom of God is like the sword that went scattering what? Seed. The seed entered the heart, and because the heart was conducive, it brought forth an harvest. Praise God. The word that gives life, that brings quickening. The word of God that you heard, that you was preached, was a seed that was sown in your heart. When that seed came alive, you were activated. Life was activated in you. I don't know, where, are you with me? Life was what? Activated. That seed is life. That seed is the carrier of eternal life. And just like every seed must be taken care of, you must take care of this one too. And as it's growing, you must take care of it. In other words, the kind of environmental conditions you expose it to, the kind of soil materials, all these things are important. So they told us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some means. Because when you break away from fellowship, the necessary nutrients that seed needs to grow is deprived of it. And so over time, the thing withers and dies. So Peter now used another illustration. Said it's like a man who has forgotten that he was saved. He has forgotten. He forgets. They are saying the same thing using different illustrations. The mustard seed must grow. It's a seed. The kingdom is a seed. It's put inside of you and it must grow. So eternal life, praise God. Are you listening to me? Eternal life is not something you process in the future. It's something you have now. But it must grow. Eternal life is not, you don't, people say your spirit is perfect. There's nothing like that in the whole Bible. Your spirit is not perfect. Otherwise, you will not be committing sin. Did you hear me? When you got born again, were you not still committing sin? You were committing sin. Does it mean you were not born again? No. But what happened was that in the midst of all those wahala, something came alive inside of you. And that thing began to do what? To grow. I said, like, and when you allow that mustard seed to grow, it becomes the biggest tree. And it takes over. Do you know one thing about the iroko tree? They say, when an iroko tree grows somewhere, no other tree grows around it. You know why? The root system of the iroko will kill every tree in that area. It will dominate. That tree is a kingdom mentality tree. It operates kingdom. Are you with me? But the greatest of them is the mustard tree. It dwarfs the iroko tree. Nothing grows around it. It's the only tree in the forest. All the birds of the air come to perch on it. It attracts everything. Am I talking to somebody? So don't let that life die. That life must grow. Eternal life within you must grow. It grew so much in Paul that when a snake beat it, a snake which was a messenger of death, when it beat him, the Bible told us that it took the snake and flung it back into the fire. We love that song very much. But if you know a snake, even after you have chopped off his head, you have decapitated his head, you put fire on it, the thing still wrangles and, you know. But by the time this snake entered fire, it stayed there permanently. Hallelujah. That means it was not the fire that killed it. It was the body of Paul that killed it. So what was in Paul that killed death? It's called eternal life. Eternal life actually kills death. So the mystery of the New Testament is that life will grow so much in you that everything called death will die. That is the mystery of it. It must grow to become the biggest tree. That's the wisdom of God. Amen. But we know from that parable of the sower that you must take time to watch over your garden. Say, watch your heart with all diligence. Because out of it comes what? The forces that, the issues that govern life. You don't give your heart to anything. Otherwise, they will plant different things inside there. Praise the Lord. That takes me to the second parable. Can you give me Matthew 25? The projector is not up yet. Verses 1 to 11. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto... Sorry, that's not what I want to read. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew 13, from verse 25. Let's take it from verse 20, where the story started. Give it to him where the story started. No, not there. This is a different story. Now, the story is that the Bible said the Lord planted wheat in his garden, on his farm. And in the morning, they observed that tares began to grow with the wheat. You remember the story? And the servant asked the master, said, Master, did we not plant wheat yesterday? How come tares is growing? And the master said it was the enemy that came to do it at night while all men slept. You know what it means when all men slept? Is that when people were not paying attention. Listen to me. The people God put over to watch over your souls. Their work is very, very important. Some of you have rebelled under them. You don't want anybody to watch over. You don't want to give accountability to anybody. But you are not helping your soul. You are not helping your soul. Because these watchmen have a responsibility of making sure that there is no tear growing up in your heart. They planted eternal life, but they can also plant death in that heart. And so I tell people that when my children go home for holiday and they come back, I tell them I need to scan you. Praise God. I want to find out whether you have picked up viruses, where you have gone home. People pick up viruses, you know. Then after 2 or 3 weeks in fellowship, you don't see them again. Where did you go? Pastor, I'm doing an assignment. Virus has entered the system. He used to be very fervent before he went on holidays. So my dad came back, something died. There was watch over your soul. The Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came. It's always when men are sleeping, when men are not paying attention over their souls, that he comes to plant it. So you need people to watch over you. You need to be accountable for people. No, people need to that you can account and give account to. One of the major problems of our generation is that we are not accountable to anybody. When we were in fellowship, we will not submit to anybody because we are president. It's only now that in our days, all our presidents were brothers. All the presidents of the school were all brothers and sisters. In this day, they are all daddies. Papa. It's wickedness. It's wrong. What have you done? What have you seen that they are calling you daddy? Someone say, hey. I'm warning you. I've heard stories. NCCF, the president, Papo, and the vice president, Mamo, they had to do what Papa and Mama would normally do. Benny. Daddy and Mommy. How are you, hello? But when we are brothers and sisters, first among equals, we are all first among equals. We were in undergraduate class and we had seniors who were postgraduate. We dare not look at them in the eye, even though we were the presiding leaders in the fellowship. We dare not look them in the eye and say, what's here now? Because they had handled ESCO before we got there. They were the ones who raised us up. When I now come and say, man of brother, you there, come, I don't know Bible. Who? They taught me Bible. But we're brothers. Many of you don't know. I've come a long way. I have testimonies too. Praise God. Hallelujah. I will always cherish. See, I learned this by experience. I was in Expo one time like that, and I think I really got angry over something. I really got angry, and I, Mofaraya, the president didn't say anything. Later he called me out. After everything I schooled down, he now rebuked me very well. That rebuke reset me very well. Praise God. But I appreciated the rebuke. Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. People need to watch over you. Otherwise, you will go haywire. People are carrying your Bible. Something happened in school when I was in Nakumba. I was talking to a young girl, and our president passed her by. Very cocky boy like that. When we were going in one direction, he was going opposite direction. He didn't even have the courtesy to say good afternoon, sir. Me and Jack Bear, I'm probably older than his daddy. And the girl spun around and ran after him. And you go, see, I was talking to her, who is that person, to know another. And I just shook my head. This one doesn't have a future. The Bible says, in the presence of the gray hair, you stand up. It's in the Bible. You honor gray hair. Those who are here, you honor them. He said, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment that comes with a promise. Look, even if your father is a witch doctor, honor him. Honor him. I'm not asking if you say, That's what I'm saying. Praise God. But give them honor. When you get home, if you're Yoruba, okay, good morning, sir. You know what I'm doing like this? You're prostrating, you know? Good morning, sir. You will not live long. Because the Bible says, when you honor your parents, it said this is the first command that comes with a promise, that your life may be extended in the earth. It's called long life. Pastor Adeboye today, many of you, we all like him, we all appreciate him. But somehow, the man is an enigma. He said something, and I think it is true. The man was not born again. His mom was not born again. But he said, when the mom calls him, he said he will run to meet the mother. And the woman said, because you responded like that when I called you, say thousands will respond when you call them. Such things. Everyone, you think David just became king because he had anointing? No, it doesn't work like that. When his brother came with chests, and all his brothers of David were all handsome, including David. I think Jesse was a very handsome man. Tall, biceps. Samuel said, behold, the Lord's anointed. God said, I have rejected him. I have rejected. That's what his exam before the man came. How do I know David could have been? It was not the lamb that David killed. It was the honor he gave his parents. It comes from honor. These little things kill people. Let us be careful. Where was I? He said, the man said he sowed wheat. They also saw tears. And he told the servants, the enemy came in to do this. And the servant said, Lord, give us permission to go and uproot all the tears. And the master said, no. Lest in uprooting the tears, you also uproot the wheat. He said, let them all grow together. Many years ago, the Holy Ghost told me the interpretation. He said, in the church, you will have both the wheat and the tears. You can't remove them. Have you heard of people who are doing funny things in the churches, leaders in the churches doing funny things? And you say, oh, this church of God can never, I don't know what is wrong with the church. And you're abusing the church because of the activities of other people. It shows you don't understand the meaning of the kingdom. Jesus said it is going to be like this. The wheat will be growing, the tares will also be growing. In fact, the tares will come to harvest before the wheat. They will produce more and faster than the wheat. Praise God. So don't be bothered. Jesus of Oyibo, many will still come. Jesus of Oyibo. How many of you know Jesus of Oyibo? You don't know. Huh? You were not around when Jesus of Oyibo reigned. Who? Eh? But you know Joshua. You know Joshua. You don't know Joshua. Some of you are angry because I mentioned Joshua. They are can't even mention Joshua. Many will still come. Pastor Adari told me, said, Pastor, many is still coming. He said, brace yourself up for it. I said, nothing will be. We can't do anything about it. That's how the kingdom will play out. You will see original, you will see fake. The problem you have, can you recognize wheat from tears? Can you recognize the right fruit from the wrong fruit? Said, by their fruits you will know them. Many of you cannot discern a fake tree from a original tree. Something is wrong with your discernment. Something is wrong with your understanding. You listen to all kinds of people. Provided the person has tape or CD to sell, you are buying it. You are not wise. You are not wise. Because in this generation we are in, you must watch your heart with all diligence. Do you know the signs of a false prophet? It's in this generation that I'm not sure if Jesus should appear and speak about us. I'm not sure that he will commend us as he commended the Ephesian church. It is the church of Ephesus. I said, I like this about you. You have examined those who claim to be apostles and you found them to be liars. Jesus commended them. In this generation, you cannot do it. How dare you talk against the Lord's anointed? My friend, this is your soul, not our soul. For your own sake, you better go and learn how to know the signs. Go and know it. When you see it, run. Can you recognize a wolf when a wolf comes? Jesus Christ said, the voice of a stranger they will not follow. But do you recognize the voice of God from the voice of the enemy? Many years ago, God told me this. He said, there are many voices in the world. I found out in 1 Corinthians. But there is none without significance. I mean, there is nobody talking that does not have reason for talking. Hallelujah. They are all important. Praise God. How many of you have DSTV? Especially the full bouquet. Okay, your parents have. Have you tried to watch all the films at the same time? How do you want to watch everything at the same time? You can't watch everything at the same time. That means there are so many things calling for your attention, but you can't listen to any of them at the same time. So you must develop a means of decoding which is important from the one that is not important. What you spend your time on will determine how far you go in life. That is important. So if you are listening to fools, I can guarantee you, in a few years, you also become a fool. If you are listening to men who are unthankful and ungrateful, you also become unthankful and ungrateful. Because they said that if goats walk with dog, after a while, the goat will eat feces. You have not, okay, you don't know that, but that's true. Then they say, if away back pela raushe. That means if the leaf, if the leaf stays a long time and fellowship with the soap, itself becomes soapy. I didn't understand that. You understand that, did it? You get that, alright. So what you fellowship with ultimately determines what you become. I said this 30. I have one, just 2 minutes more and I will leave here. I've not finished. Praise the Lord. Then this one, the 10 virgins. I think I'll start with the 10 virgins. The Ten Virgins is a sad commentary of a reality that we must all be careful about. Said the kingdom of God is like 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 2. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no extra oil with them. What was the problem? Oil. They did not take extra oil. The apostles warned us that a time will come when scoffers will come and they will start asking questions. Where is the promise of his coming? Since the Father slept, he has been telling us Jesus will come and he has not come. Listen to me. People are talking about rapture. Jesus is not coming tomorrow. Jesus is not doing what? Jesus can come anytime. That's not true. He's not coming anytime soon. Because the conditions that will make him come back has not arrived. Because scoffers must rise in the earth. They've not started asking us questions. And where is the promise of his coming? They've not started asking. The Bible told us that they waited for the bridegroom and the man did not come. And they became tired and they all slept off. At midnight. Everybody say midnight. You know what midnight means? When it is night. There is no vision. Everything about God or kingdom has stopped. We have prayed and prayed. You don't know what happened when they say, will you restore the kingdom to the Israelites? They were waiting for the kingdom. That was how they followed Jesus in the first place. You know, they were fighting one time. Who was greatest among them? They were all orchestrating how to stand and sit in the right and left of God. On position around. Hallelujah. Are you with me? There's nothing as terrible as disappointment. He told them, it is not for you to know. The kingdom is not coming like that. Some would have gone back home and said, I'm not doing it again. Remember, how many of them were sent to the upper room? How many of them saw Jesus Christ after the resurrection? 500. How many went to the upper room? When were the 380? They went out fishing. Because what they expected was not what they were getting. Listen to me. I know we can preach kingdom. You may be saying that by the grace of God, next week Jesus is coming back. He's not coming back next week. Am I making sense to you? I'm not saying that you should not be expectant. That's the preparation of this parable. The wise one took extra oil. They were ready for the long haul. They were ready for a marathon. Others were ready for a short race. This Christianity is not a short race. It's a marathon. Satan can trip you at the age of 85. You have served Jesus for 85 years. At the end of your 85th year, Satan can still trip you. You don't lower your guard until it is over. Am I communicating to us? And so when he came at midnight, those who were wise trimmed their lamps. Because they had extra oil. Those who had no oil. Now said, borrow us oil. He said, no, it's not going to be enough. No man can borrow you things. Especially things of God. You have to get it yourself. You have to pay the price to buy your own oil. You have to buy your own oil. Tell your neighbor, go buy your own oil. Buy your oil. My oil can't carry my wife. My wife's oil can't carry me. Every man must buy his own oil. You must buy your own oil. He was speaking to the church, one of the churches in Revelation. He said, buy of me, I counsel, buy of me, I love. Am I making sense? You come buy. Say, any man that has no sword, sell everything you have and buy yourself a sword. He's saying the same thing. Buy yourself oil. Because the journey is far. Elijah felt it was going to be a short journey. They said, eat. The man ate and slept. They woke him and said, the journey is far. Eat him again. I said here at the beginning, supposing Jesus does not come back in the next 30, 40, 50 years, what is your hope? Pastor was saying that supposing we have a government that is pro-West, and they legislate that gay marriage is okay now, what will you and I do? How are we going to handle it? We have no we have no program now on ground to handle it. We are just assuming. Am I communicating to us? Church, it's a marathon. We must buy oil for the journey ahead, for the journey is still far. This kingdom is not coming tomorrow. It's going to be built. God has waited patiently for over 2,000 years. I think he can wait for another 2,000 years to get it right. But let us begin to set our houses in order. Let us set our lives in order so that this we can get these things right. Let us build right. The kingdom is like he who had the word of God, and the Bible says, if some planted their houses upon the rock, and some planted theirs upon what? The sand. He's saying the same thing. He who plants upon the rock took time to look for the rock. Took time to look for the rock. Someone said it's the time. No, no. It's not that when you build on the sand, it is faster than building up a rock. It is not necessarily true. For rock, you need no foundation. You just put the cement and the thing is going up. Sand, you have to dig to even get something to put it on. Hallelujah. But the Bible says the storms of life hit both of them. It's going to hit us. Let us prepare for the long haul. We don't know what tomorrow will play out. But these things I know, that is not going to get any better. Some will face the sword. Some will face persecution. Some will face cruel mockings. Some will have to deal with the problem of prosperity. One of the greatest fights you can fight is fighting mammon. Hello? I say hello? A man can stand and say, if I die, I perish. I don't care. But let them dangle prosperity in his sight. He will start speaking in tongues. The deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. Last time I was in UK, we met some young men. Those young men, when they left the shores of this country, they were fire. Fire was literally burning out of them. Young men. Pastor Tom told me of one of his friends. That guy was anointed. That boy was anointed. He said he was the first person the boy would pray for an hand, and the hand grew. He said he grew in front of his eyes. This boy was anointed. This boy was walking in London, and Reverend K was sitting somewhere, and he stopped and came back. I said, you must be Reverend K. I said, look at that. How did you know? He just smiled and walked away. The gift was still there, but the guy is making pounds. It's any pounds. Could you time for long more? Somebody said when he got to the UK, he went to UK firebrand, passionate for God. But after a while, he said that thing just died inside of him. Just died. He said, can I explain it? I said, now, what they call the spirit of this age, you don't know it. It's real. If we throw you there, will you survive? You need extra oil. Can we bow our heads? Because I promise that I will not take your time. Can we pray? Why men slept? Have men been sleeping over you? That you have gotten careless and you have allowed the enemy to plant tears. This parable is applicable to individuals, it's applicable to the corporate body. Or are you a virgin that I've not taken extra oil for the journey? What is it about you? Are you aligning that eternal life? Are you guiding it with your life? Are you conscious of what you are carrying? Are you letting every wind of doctrine enter your life? Are you allowing all kinds of things to blow you up and down? The Lord, who is the Lord of the kingdom, or His word, is His word final in your life? When you hear the opinions of men, and you hear the commandments of God, which one will you yield to? Which one is your default position? Even at the risk of being unpopular, which one is it for you? The king does not give suggestions. Are you prepared to go all the way, even to your old age? The psalmist said, "For this God is my God, even unto death." It's a determination, it's a decision he has made. He's not planning to change gods. He's not planning to change fathers. He's not planning to change allegiance. He's not planning to change his love. He is committed. He has sold out to following him. Job said, "Though he slays me, I will keep following him." Have you come to that point that you have made that kind of decision? This God is my God. Oh, lebredeko shanama lebrodosa. Ramadeke la pruska ba de janam rebasudali kremos. Manenenge de ingrebosa. Lord, help us. I ask, O God, for help. I ask for mercy, O God. It's a long race. He said they took extra oil. The wise took extra oil. The wise took extra oil. They took extra oil. They were not careless. They were not presumptuous. They anticipated that this guy may not come on time. And so they took extra oil. Are you willing to take extra oil? Are you willing to put in extra hours beyond what others are putting in? Lord, help us. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy. Have mercy, God. Have mercy upon the sheep of your pasture. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Teach us the way. Teach us what it means to take extra oil. Teach us the meaning to keep our gardens from tears to be planted. We put a guard over our lives so that the enemy will not come in and plant the tears. Keep the wheat you have planted. Make them to grow. Help us to recognize. Tell the Lord, "Lord, teach me how to recognize truth from falsehood. Teach me to recognize truth from falsehood. It is religion that assumes. Religion says you can't talk about any person that is doing wrong.
Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Once again, our Father, we thank you. Lord, these are serious issues. And you know our frailties. You know how vulnerable we are. You know how childish we are. We ask for mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Don't abandon us to our foolishness. Don't leave us alone to run our lives the way we like. Step in into our situation. Treat us as sons. Your servant says, grace will discipline his own. Father, don't withhold the rod from us. Wherever foolishness is hiding in our hearts, Lord, drive it out in the name of Jesus. Help us to be wise, like those five wise virgins who prepared their lives for a marathon. Give us the wisdom to prepare for a marathon in the name of Jesus. Help us to recognize truth from error. He said, by their fruits we shall know them. Help us to recognize good fruit from terrible fruits, from poisonous fruits, in the name of Jesus. Don't let them use us as experiments. Help us to learn from others and learn by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Teach us the way we should go. Thank you, Father, tonight. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.